Welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Dottino. He's David Deal. The Giants are getting set for Sunday's game at MetLife Stadium against the Cincinnati Bengals, a 3-4-1 team that comes over from the AFC. But the Giants are more concentrating on the fact that they're looking for their fourth victory in a row, David.
And it was a huge win coming off of the bye for the New York Giants, breaking the stigma of a slow start after a bye week, getting a huge win up against the Philadelphia Eagles and building from that momentum that they had in London.
Let's get a quick look at the injury report for the Giants. And most of these guys, with the exception of the concussion protocol, they seem fairly optimistic about going. Victor Cruz says he thinks it's going to be hopeful for playing off of that sprained ankle. But as for now, it's back out to the practice field. Head coach Ben McAdoo is getting his players ready.
We're excited to play Monday night in front of the home crowd. I thought the fans did a tremendous job last week. They were loud when the Eagles had the ball, and it was a tremendous advantage for us, and we look forward to them being behind us this week. Defensively, for Cincinnati, it's a veteran group. They have a history of success. Their front four has very good rush ability and tremendous length. They're led by Atkins and Dunlap up front. They're linebackers. They're a salty, physical group. They play downhill, and they can lay the wood when they get there. Their secondary is aggressive and very multiple. Offensively, they have an elite group of skill players, Green, Eifert, Hill, and Bernard, and they're creative and multiple with how they distribute the ball to them. Dalton's playing at a high level, and he takes great care of the football. That'll be a challenge for us. Four of their five offensive linemen have played a lot of snaps together, and they're acclimating the fifth guy in there. Special teams-wise, their unit focuses on extracting the ball. They have 26 fumbles caused since 2003. They're a trio of talented veteran specialists there with Nugent, Huber, and Harris, and two premier kick blockers in Hunt and Dunlap. Again, a lot of length there, a lot of length. With that, we'll open it up.
Coach, what's the status of Victor Cruz heading into Monday?
He did not work today.
How's he feeling? He'll come out tomorrow?
We'll see tomorrow.
How's he feeling at this point?
He was out today.
Regardless of the injury, do you plan to kind of cut back on his usage a little bit in the second half just to wear and tear?
We'll see. We'll take it week by week.
Okay, a lot of that with him was from the game the other day before he got injured, was written as him getting like a reduced role. Do you agree with that assessment?
Again, we talked about using all 46 of our players as much as we can during the bye week and try to spread the reps around.
Did you guys do anything on the field yesterday with Victor? He
didn't work today. He's working off the field and on the field a little bit with the training staff.
Is rushing the football still, you know, an important part of this offense, and do you think that you will continue to improve in that area?
Yeah, we're working at running the football. We spent a lot of time on it today. It's an area of importance for us, an area of emphasis, and we're going to keep plugging away at it.
What does Eifert bring to their red zone offense? I think their productivity increased when he returned.
Yeah, he's a big target with some range. He has sneaky speed. He can chew up some ground with his stride length. But again, big targets that are smart and get football in the red and green zone are an advantage for the offense.
Coach Landon Collins earned himself another NFC Defensive Player of the Week award. What can you say about his development in his second year?
He's making a lot of production. He's all over the field. He's playing fast. He's playing aggressive. He's tackling well, and he's doing a nice job with his ball skills.
How much similarities do you see with a guy like A.J. Green and maybe some guy like you played in Week 1 with Dez Bryant?
They're different players. A.J.'s very talented, covers a lot of ground, plays the game fast. Great ball skills, hand-eye coordination. I think all the great ones do. And he's made a lot of nice plays over the years. And he's a player that has tremendous length, a very big catch radius, and can do it with two hands and one hand.
How do you think Eli Apple's responded, you know, so far from what you've seen him after Sunday's game?
He's bounced back. He's bounced back.
What's your plan with Larry Donnell going forward?
We'll take it week by week. We're not gonna necessarily talk about play time before the game, but we're gonna take it week by week. Everyone has an opportunity to contribute in the game. Who's up?
How do you deal with having such obviously a reduced role last week?
That'd be a better question for Larry.
Do the Bengals do a lot of stunts and twists up front, maybe more so than what you've seen?
Depends on, you know, what their plan is. They've done a lot of double A gap mug stuff in the past, maybe not so much recently, and they mix their stunts and twists in there with pressure. But they like to straight rush 4-2, and they have a lot of length doing that, but they can push the pocket back and, you know, have those guys, you know, get their paws up and try to bat some balls down.
What kind of challenge would Brett Jones face when he gets to go against Geno Atkins?
I think every guard faces a big challenge in centers when they go against Geno. He's got a, you know, tremendous quick first step. He's built low to the ground. That's an advantage for him, and he's very disruptive.
Learning to finish games, which you've been doing, the last three games have all been by 7 points or less. Is there something about this squad that you see that's unique?
I think we believe that we're going to win the close ones in the end. That's what we work towards. Same point in time, we had some opportunities in the ball game to blow it open last week, and when we get those opportunities, we need to take advantage of them.
Coach, what adjustments do you have to make when guarding a big, strong, multi-threat tight end like Tyler Eifert?
I'm going to choose my words carefully here. We have to be aware. We have to know where he is. They can use him all over the formation. They use a lot of shifts and motions to try to disguise where he's going to be and disguise tendencies as much as possible. But we'll know where he is, and we'll have a plan for him.
Why is it that you feel that tight ends have been an issue for you guys defensively?
I think when you play good tight ends, I think they cause problems for, you know, my history coaching the position. It causes problems for people. They're tough matchups for safeties because of the size, and are tough matchups for linebackers because of the speed and the quickness. And you know, a lot of times corners don't have the strength to contain them. So especially when you go against great players, it proposes matchup problems.
How big an asset has Keenan Robinson been in that regard?
Yeah, Keenan's been a good player for us. He's jumped in with both feet. He's really bought into what we're doing here, become a good part, nice part of the locker room, and played some good ball for us.
Why do you think Paul Perkins was so effective in the fourth quarter?
Why was he as opposed to
early in the game, he was getting zeros and ones and minuses, and it looked like in the fourth quarter.
Well, it takes 11 on offense to have a productive play. And, you know, sometimes he blocked what was there. Other times he may have missed a read. He may have missed a read or two. But, again, with reps, he'll get better.
So you don't think it had anything to do with sort of, you know, him getting stronger as the game went on, or it's just a matter of technique?
I think he got a little more comfortable as the game went on, yeah.
When you look at Brett Jones, he ideally doesn't have ideal size for a guard. How much can technique kind of compensate for what he might be missing in terms of size and strength and all that?
Yeah, I think technique plays a big part into it. He's going to be very prepared. That's who he is. That's how he goes about his business. He's a student of the game, and he puts a lot of time and effort into the preparation part of things, and that showed up on Sunday. You need to have a variety of ball carriers. Having just one ball carrier and going into the game and saying everyone's going to, you know, one back's going to play 68 snaps, I don't think that's feasible. I think you need to have a variety of guys who are ready to play and make sure you have the reps distributed that way.
How difficult is your offense protection-wise for a rookie?
To learn the protections?
Yeah.
I think all offenses in this league, that's probably the biggest hurdle for a rookie to overcome. Is to try to learn the protections and be able to play, not just learn them, but when the ball snapped, to be able to play fast, and not just where your number one is, but where your two and your scan shows up.
How much is he still learning that?
Yeah, he's still learning. He's still learning. Made some progress, but he's still learning.
How come your defense has been so good in the red zone, leading the league percentage down there?
That's a good question. You know, you can go back, and when you go back and look at the tape, like we did over the bye week, been very productive, making a lot of plays, a lot of great effort by the players that way. I think we're calling it aggressive down there, and the players respond to it.
Coach, have you talked to Darian Thompson at all since he was placed on IR, and if so, what did you say to him?
What did I say to him? I wished him the best getting healthy.
you only have three safeties in the roster. I'm just wondering, is Michael Thompson going to potential to return at some point this year?
Everything's fair game at this point.
Where is he standing in this process?
He's making progress.
What goes into that decision for you guys, and when do you feel like you have to make that decision? I mean, you basically have two guys to probably bring back. It's Michael and Shane, I believe.
Yeah, when they're ready physically, we'll make the decision. If we feel it's the right guy at the right time.
Physically at this point?
When someone's ready physically and we deem them the right guy, we'll make the decision.
In that red zone, D, are you guys winning physical battles at the line? Does that have a lot to do with it?
Yeah, the run game's a big part of it. I mean, when you hold the team, when you take away the run, just like anywhere else on the field, it limits what the offense can do schematically.
Two more questions.
Ben, understanding that you appreciate Giants tradition so much, how special is the Ring of Honor night for you and for some of your players who know Tuck and or Tom? Is that something that can be an extra spark and motivation as well?
I'm not sure about that. I know I'll be excited to see those two guys, wish them the best, and congratulate them. We look forward to it.
Ernie had said met with you last week. Was he just here for the Ring of Honor stuff? What was that conversation like?
I had an opportunity to pick his brain about a couple different things. It was a great conversation. I look forward to do it moving forward, too. Thank you.
So the Giants know that the Bengals create quite a defensive challenge, but the Big Blue offense got on track last week against the Eagles. We'll find out how they can keep it going after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. It is time for our GEICO News Recap of the day. 15 seconds or 15 minutes, actually, can save you 15% or more on your auto insurance. David, we've got to make the news. What's going to happen on Monday night at halftime when Coughlin, Akorsi, and Tuck go into the Ring of Honor? You know all three very well.
All three have had a significant impact on my life. Ernie Akorsi drafting me in 2003 in the fifth round out of the New York, Illinois to the New York Giants, one of the greatest days of my life. Coach Coughlin coaching me 10 of my 11 seasons, making me a better football player on the field and off the field. And Justin Tuck, what an unbelievable teammate and best friend that I still have to this day.
Well, it's going to be a sensational night, at least for the ceremonies. But will it be a great night for Eli Manning and the offense? Well, only if they work real hard.
Big game for us going against a good team. They've been a playoff team last years, and always, you know their offense can score points. Their defense has some veterans, a lot of experience, some really good players. So we just got to make sure we play sharp, go out there, have fun, and continue to make some plays.
So Eli Manning threw four touchdown passes against the Eagles, had a couple of crazy interceptions go against him, but I thought he was very effective.
He played extremely well. If you think about the two touchdowns to Odell Beckham Jr., both of those were audibles, check plays. The ball that he threw perfectly to Victor Cruz right down the sideline. He is just in complete command of this offense, putting everybody in the positions that they need. And you know that this offense will thrive even more once they get the running attack and the rushing attack attempts where they need to, back to balanced.
Let's talk about the ground game for just a second, though, David. They didn't run the ball very well for the afternoon, but Paul Perkins, 8 carries for 36 yards in the second half, and he showed some spark.
He sure did, and you could see as the game progressed, he got more and more comfortable, being more patient, setting up his blocks, being very nice on the toss, waiting, setting it up, seeing a seam and breaking loose. He brings that home run hitting ability to this football team, not to mention his ability to catch out of the backfield and have some significant screens in this game to slow down the pass rush, which will be huge in this game up against the Cincinnati Bengals.
We can't forget about the other rookie, the wide receiver, Roger Lewis. 30-yard touchdown catch in this game. And, of course, with Victor Cruz out with that sore ankle, he was a big deal.
He was prepared for his opportunity, and he took full advantage of it. And we'll see moving forward here if he is going to get more playing time based upon whether or not Victor Cruz is healthy and ready to go. But the one thing that really impressed me out of Lewis Jr. is his perimeter blocking. He did a very nice job of doing things on the outside, because you always talk about all 11 are involved in the running game.
Let's talk about the Twitter question, and it's about the O-line. How will Justin Pugh's absence affect the Giants' offensive line? Brett Jones came in, didn't allow a sack, didn't have a penalty called against him, and that was in 50 snaps.
And it was a seamless transition, and a lot of credit goes to Brett Jones. He is a tough versatile, smart offensive lineman and who is going to fight and finish each and every play. So it was huge for him to be able to jump in, fill right into that spot, and the offense not missing a beat.
All right, so now this Giants O-line goes up against a tough Bengals defense, which has had some trouble statistically. In fact, I want to tell you this. This year, they've given up 6 passing touchdowns of 20 or more yards and 2 rushing touchdowns of 20 or more yards. Those numbers are the 5th highest in the NFL.
It's a much different look than what you saw out of the Cincinnati Bengals last year out of their defense. They're a 4-3 front, but they'll switch in some 3-4 looks. If you're looking to run wide, that's where you're going to have some tough times. But where they've really struggled, especially in the running game, is the inside zone, the gap schemes, all those things that you can do to really slow down their pass rush, which is their main forte.
Yeah, it's definitely that front line that causes the most trouble for people. Geno Atkins with 19 quarterback hurries, 2nd among NFL defensive tackles this year. And Carlos Dunlap coming off the edge. How about this, David? 5.5 sacks and 7 passes defensed, the most by any defensive lineman this year, and that leads the Bengals team.
Well, he has that 6'7 frame where he can get it up into the framework, but you think about it. They have 141 total pressures as a team, 7 different players with the sack, and you look at their defensive line alone, 42 of those pressures are from the D-line and 14 sacks from the defensive line. So this is a game that you know offensively that you've got to stay ahead of the chains on 1st and 2nd down, because if you're in those 3rd and longs up against this defense, they will eat you alive.
Now, linebacker Vontaze Burfict has only been called for 1 penalty this year. It was a holding penalty. But last year, we know how he and the Steelers' Antonio Brown got into a helmet-to-helmet thing, and that kind of gave him a bad reputation.
He is. He's a chippy player, and you saw how it cost them a football game and a playoff game last year. And you think about him right now. He's 3rd on the team in tackles after missing the first 3 with the suspension. He makes all the calls. He rarely leaves the field. But this is one of those things that you can't get into the pushing match and the shoving match, because let him do all the fouls. Let him get the penalties and let him do the things that add to your offense.
And when we talk about their secondary, it starts with Pac-Man Jones, who's been a bit inconsistent this year, but he is still a guy who can be very dangerous.
They really do, and they go left and right with their corners. Kirkpatrick will be to the left. Pac-Man Jones is to the right. But they've really struggled limiting big plays. Other teams have had 29 plays of 20-plus yards passing. That's 10th most in the NFL. And they've given up 6 touchdowns of 20-plus. So this is an opportunity for these Giants receivers, especially Odell Beckham Jr., to really make some big impacting plays to open up things for the rest of the wide receivers and for this offense.
I'll tell you what, David, the Big Blue defense has had a really good first half of the season. But can they declaw the Bengals? Stick around and find out more after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. You know, we're talking about this Giants defense right before the break, and I want to give you a stat here, David. In each of the last 3 wins, the Giants have locked down on the final drive. The opponents got inside the 30 each time, but the Giants held them out for the W.
And they've done an unbelievable job of finishing football games, and it was apparent from the start of this last game up against the Eagles till the end of it, being able to stop the run, especially on 1st and 2nd down, being able to stymie things on the inside with Snacks Harrison and the rest of this group. You really see a defense that is swarming to the football. And now what is it doing? It's creating more takeaways and turnovers for them defensively. So you've got to be very excited from what you're seeing out of the defense.
Yeah, I want to talk about those takeaways for a second, because during this 3-game winning streak, 2 things have really shown up for this D: the takeaways and the pressure on the quarterback.
And when you look at these plays and you see the interceptions, the one that Landon Collins had is because of the pressure that Olivier Vernon put on Carson Wentz. You see that he gets an extra push. He has to throw off of his back foot, throws it high. Landon Collins comes away with a key interception. So they always say the best coverage is a pass rush. Now you're seeing these go hand in hand. Once again, pressure. Carson Wentz having to step up in the pocket, not being comfortable. What's he do? He throws it high. Gets a key interception by Adams. And once again, this is where the two play hand in hand, and why we've spent so much money on the defensive side of the ball to correct things and get these takeaways so that the offense can start up right away 14-0.
The Giants D has been particularly good in the clutch. In fact, during the 3-game winning streak, they have held teams to 3 of 7 on 4th down and they have only allowed 5 touchdowns in 14 red zone opportunities.
Which is huge, and you saw the impact that it had on the football game up against the Philadelphia Eagles, where they had to go for a touchdown instead of settle for and just have a game-tying field goal. So it's been huge, and holding them out for 2-6 in this last game, it's going to be even more important when you have weapons like Tyler Eifert and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now, quarterback Andy Dalton, he's a bit more experienced than the guys the Giants have faced the last few weeks. In fact, he's in the top 10 in the NFL in completion percentage, yardage, and quarterback rating. He's a little bit of a different animal.
He commands and controls this offense. He is very accurate when he's throwing and when they move the launch point. When he doesn't have anything in his progressions, he has no problem with just dumping it down, but they take a lot of deep shots. He's had 33 throws of over 20-plus yards, which is 5th most in the NFL.
Now, they go with a 2-pronged rushing attack with both Hill and Bernard. Each has run for a touchdown in both of the past 2 games. It's a versatile backfield.
Hill is every down back, especially in the red zone. His big thing is he's strong and has 227 yards after contact. But then when you look at Bernard is that specialty back, 3rd down, 2-minute. But one of the things that you really have to watch when you're watching Bernard, he's lined up at wide receiver 31 times this season. So they try to get him in open space up against mismatches, up against linebackers or other safeties.
Now, despite the fact that the Bengals have already had a bye, A.J. Green leads the National Football League with 51 receptions. He's had 4 games of 120 yards or more, but he's only caught 3 touchdown strikes.
He is a legit vertical threat. He is an absolute beast. He's had 3 games of 160-plus yards receiving and 14 receptions of 20-plus this season. So this is a very important game that the coverage, the scheme that Steve Spagnuolo puts on the field is sound, and do not let him get over the top.
Tight end Tyler Eifert had offseason ankle surgery, but he's been back for the last 2 games, and in fact against Washington a couple of weeks ago, 9 catches for 102 yards and a score.
Talk about the impact you have on a football team. The first 6 games, they were 42% in the red zone. Since having Eifert back, they've gone to 83%. So he is a definite nightmare matchup for linebackers down the seams, and he's definitely opened up things for their offense.
Now, if they're going to move the ball, they need better protection, though, from their offensive line. Tied for 3rd highest in the NFL, giving up 25 sacks, David.
And they only gave up 20 all of last season, so this is an opportunity for the Giants' defensive line to attack, put the pressure on Dalton, and get those takeaways again.
Hey, Monday night, Ring of Honor, Tuck, Accorsi, Coughlin, Giants, Bengals. We'll be there. Will you? We'll see you next week on Giants Press Conference Live.